more than once, I have had people come up to me and say, "You don't preach on sin enough." Let's have a little bit more sin and judgment and hell. But when we have readings like we have today, how can one not preach on love and only love? We hear in the second reading that God is love. God is love. Doesn't say God is a lover. Doesn't say that God loves. It says quite plainly and deliberately, I think, God is love. I think that is to say that God cannot do anything that is not love. God is incapable of doing anything that doesn't look and feel and sound like love. So how can we talk about God condemning, God thinking less of us because of what we might do, God even punishing? How can we even think of those things in connection with a God who is only love, who is capable only of mercy, forgiveness, kindness, gentleness, patience, compassion, fidelity, love? It just doesn't fit together to say anything else about God. So why is it that we're so keen on making God like you and me, who are so limited and conditional in our willingness to love one another? Maybe it feels better for me if there's a God who condemns or punishes or thinks somehow less of me because I fail so frequently. Maybe that vindicates my limitedness. But that's not the God that we have in our midst even here today. It's scary. It must be scary or somehow uncomfortable to have a God who is so different from us. In God's unconditional, unlimited way of loving. A couple of months ago, there was a group of fourth graders, maybe, from one of the local private schools who were making the tour of different churches in the area so that they could learn more about how different religious traditions understood God. And they came and sat in our chapel, and I talked with them for a while, and they began to ask some questions. And I was surprised and a little bit disturbed at how often a question came up from these little ones relating to God's desire to punish, to judge, and to send people to hell. Where is this stuff coming from? I suspect the internet and movies, maybe even from friends or parents. But from this age, kids grow up thinking that there's something about God that wants to harm us or hurt us in some way. Notice in these readings that the only thing God asks of us is that we in turn share God's gift of love with everybody else. To love others in precisely the same way that God has loved us. This is my commandment. Nothing else matters. There might just as well be no other commandments. This one commandment is what I ask of you. Love one another. Love one another just as I have loved you. I was thinking earlier this week of the number of ways that we find exceptions to this commandment, which of course admits to no exception, right? Just love one another as I've loved you. It's pretty plain and simple. But I think of the ways in which we justify making exceptions to that command. I was watching a basketball game the other day on television. And I was watching the coach. And the abusiveness that he showed, the temper, the bullying that he displayed toward the referees, toward the players. And I was thinking to myself, this guy is perceived and understood by the sporting world as a great coach. As if to say, this is the way that good coaches behave. It's behavior that wouldn't be acceptable in any other circumstance, but if you're a basketball coach, you can get away with it. And it's not only acceptable behavior, but it's admirable behavior. Or politicians. It's okay for politicians to lie. That's just the way things are. And if you don't lie, you don't get ahead, so that's okay. As if someone's circumstance or position, whether it be as a politician or a coach or a supervisor in a workplace, as if being in some particular circumstance justifies abusive, privileged behavior. Or the way we make decisions in the public arena on the basis of political ideology. This is the way we decide how to treat our brothers and sisters, not only within our own nation, but in other countries as well. We apply certain political ideologies. And that tells us how to behave. And therefore, it's okay to seek domination of other peoples. Or to exclude people from our concern and our care. But we make decisions on the basis of the gospel, don't we? Not political ideology. Or we decide how to behave with one another on the basis of what's legal and illegal. You must have read about this group down in Texas, for instance, that called together people who would draw cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. And there was a cash prize for the most offensive, insulting cartoon that one could create. Do you remember reading about this? Glorying in the freedom of speech that we have as Americans. If we're allowed to do it, if it's legal to do it, then it's okay. Forget about charity, kindness, tolerance. Those things are secondary. What's important in the way we decide how to live with one another is what's legal. Or what do we have a right to do? But folks, we are Christians. We are Christians first. And it's the gospel that helps us decide how to relate to one another. And nothing else. Nothing else. And if we follow the gospel, then we are all about love. All about compassion. All about kindness and gentleness. We are not like any other organization out there that follows bylaws and rules and conforms to the culture. We are a parish community. We are a Christian people. And we live according to the Spirit, according to the gospel. We're not even like a family. Because with a family, it's a blood relationship that binds us together. We're more than that. What binds us is not blood relationship. It's a shared spirit that moves us to love one another, whoever they are, regardless of family connections, that moves us to love even our enemies. Even those who are very, very different from us. So how good is it today with readings like this that we also are celebrating our mothers? For many of us, we have no better experience of love than the love we received from our mother. And what a gift, then, that mothers are to us. Because it is from mothers and fathers and trusted friends, and I hope the church, it's from these that we learn how to love. That we experience God's love in the world in and through them. And so Mother's Day perhaps is a secular holiday, but it properly is a religious holiday as well. Mothers are sacraments, if you will. Maybe not one of the seven, but mothers are sacraments because in experiencing mothers and fathers and friends and hopefully the church, in experiencing the love that we feel through and from them, we have some experience of the God who is among us. Loving the world through you and me. God is love. God is nothing else. Nothing else but love. So the last thing that should come out of our mouths, the last concern or worry we should have is God going to still love me tomorrow?